Welcome to the Farm Answers Podcast. The Farm Answers Podcast takes a deeper look at projects funded by the USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture's Beginning Farm and Rancher Development Program and how they are reaching beginning farmers and ranchers.
The La Semilla Food Center combines community gardens and educational programs with a commitment to transforming their local food system. Their BFRDP project focuses on a six-month fellowship program for beginning farmers. I'm your host, Megan Engel, and today on the Farm Answers Podcast, I talk with Julieta, La Semilla's Farm Education Coordinator, to learn more about how they are helping beginning farmers in the state of New Mexico.
La Semilla Food Center was established in 2010, and it was as a result of community gardens, youth programs, and some things that was seen in the food system. Also, I'm the farm education coordinator, I was not here when La Semilla started, but it started in Antony, New Mexico, and it evolved to the six programs that we have right now, which are community education, edible education, community farm, storytelling, operations, of course, and policy and community development. And the program that hosts the beginning farmer training is the community farm, which is where I am. So in 2010, like a few years later, we were able to have some land, which is where the community farm is, and that expanded the possibilities of our programming. Now, Antony, New Mexico is within what is known as colonias. Colonias are usually communities that where the majority is low-income households. They are mainly in rural or peri-urban areas, right? Or they're not as developed as a city. Yeah, but that's sort of how it started, as because we saw like this food appetites that exist within the Paso del Norte region that exposes a need for this kind of work, and sort of try to reshape and restructure the food system and make it more sustainable, so more people has more access to foods, and not only to food, but also to culturally relevant foods, meaning foods that are not only feeding their bodies, but also like their spirits and their souls, right?
Your BFRDP project is a fellowship program for beginning farmers based on the 10 agroecology principles defined by the Food and Agriculture Organization. So before we dive into what your fellowship program looks like, can you share with our listeners who may not be familiar, what are the 10 agroecology principles?
Yes. So the 10 agroecology principles are diversity, co-creation and sharing of knowledge, synergies, efficiency, recycling, resilience, human and social values, culture and food traditions, responsible governance, and circular and solidarity economies. And then the FAO, with informed by La Via Campesina, extracts five main principles from those 10, which are co-creation and sharing of knowledge, human and social values, culture and food traditions, responsible governance, and circular and solidarity economies. So those are the 10, and those five are the main ones. The fellowship focus on the 10 of them, I think. If you go to the FAO website, they have this diagram, this cool great diagram where all the elements are interconnected, because in a way, in order to be able to co-create knowledge, there has to be some synergies within it. There has to be some experience, like people has to exist in this world and bring their experiences with them. And each background is different, right? Also, like for responsible governance, there's a lot of awareness that has to happen in terms of what are the needs of our communities. And then also, like, for example, if you think of efficiency, recycling, and resilience, recycling is a very efficient way to build resilience within our communities.
For sure. So your farmer fellowship program is a paid 6-month hands-on immersive learning experience. Can you share a brief overview of what this fellowship program looks like from the participants' perspective?
Yeah, so we have three main buckets, which are network development, practical knowledge, and immersive training. But in a way, like all the things within the structure of the fellowship, like the three things are present in every aspect. There are different components. There is like the hands-on training, which is where the fellows are at their mentor sites working and actually like doing farm work with their alongside their mentors and learning there. And then there is the agroecology as practice and movement sessions. And those are learning sessions that are more instructional, more of an open outdoor classroom kind of style. And they are very diverse. We do site visits to other farms that have agroecological practices in the region. We also, like, we were able to take them to a few field trips that further north within the state of New Mexico. So they could see the difference in practice in different climates, right? It is still part of sort of the Chihuahuan Desert. It's still the Rio Grande watershed. But as we go north, climate changes and needs changes. And like the what is challenging for us might not be the challenges that they are facing over there. And that was also like to give them an idea of how regionality and how context is so important within agroecological practice. We also did some like the technical parts of agroecology, which are like soil assessments, also like on-site for more limited resource farming. And then also like more complex, like samplings, taking soil samples to send them to the lab, and then how to interpret these lab results for those who wanted to have a larger or more complex or larger production in their practice. Within the technical parts was also like crop planning. Here, our summers are just getting like longer and hotter, and then also like months and season being shifting through the years, through the last 10 years. And also we are in a region that been in a mega drought for the last 20 years. So we have that those kind of challenges that have to be taken in consideration in terms of resource availability when you are planting your crops. Because you might want to grow a lot of tomatoes, but what do you need to actually grow tomatoes in this region, given like that the pollen is going to die if the temperatures go over 95 degrees, right? And last summer, for example, we had over 40 days of above 100 degrees weather continuously. So it was like more than a month that we were above 100 degrees. And the how that also, how to make like the decision making on whether or not like, are you planning to have some staff in your farm or like interns or volunteers? When do you want to make them work? Do you want to make them work like in the middle of the day in 100 degrees weather? Or are you going to ask them to come earlier, right? So that kind of training in different sessions, right? So they could have those learnings. And then we had the co-creation of knowledge aspect, which was an independent learning project. Those were subjects that each fellow was going to choose to share knowledge on. And they could be like topics that they already were experts on, or they felt some sort of expertise within. And they wanted to share the knowledge with the rest of the cohort and some of our staff and some community members, or a topic that they wanted to gain knowledge on throughout the fellowship. And we would obviously provide mentorship and resources for that, and then share that knowledge at the end of the fellowship. An example of that was like someone presented on Mellon's disease, and then another fellow presented on fermented soil amendments. There was also like a fellow that explored making an organic pesticide with wild tobacco. And what else? I feel like there were like a lot of cool ones, and I'm not making justice of it by just mentioning those. Yeah, but that was another aspect of it, the independent learning project. And it was a 6-month, the last cohort was 4 months, but it had more hours per week into the learning part. But yeah, it was a 6-month program. We had initially the project was to, the idea was to have all the fellows at Las Semillas Community Farm. But because of the pandemic, we had to rethink and reshape the structure of the fellowship in order to not have that many people at the same time in one place. Although it was outdoors, I think something that kept us safe throughout the pandemic was like having things in place around it, having it in mind as community care. So we did, and we did have some fellows that were like, that had immunocompromised conditions. So we didn't want to also like put any fellows at risk by putting everyone together at the same time all the time. So we did partner with other mentors, with some mentors in the region. And we had, initially we had 4 sites. And then by the end, the last 2 years, it was 3 sites. No, initially we had 5. And then the first year, and then the second, the third year, we had 3 sites. Because we had 1 fellow at each site, and then we had 5 at La Semilla Community Farm. And we noticed that those that were alone at their sites, they were like, they felt sort of isolated from the program. So we decided to place them in pairs for the following 2 years.
Now, you spoke a little bit about it, but you work with these mentor farms. So how did your organization get connected with these farms, and how are they really helping to influence your fellowship program?
Well, there's some complexity in every relationship, but I think the main one is through Farm Fresh. So one of the mentor sites is the Colores Fruits and Farms that is run by farmer Yvonne Diaz. And she used to work for the organization, and then she started her farm, and then like she started her own thing, and then she started selling her produce through the program we have that is Farm Fresh, that is like sort of our CSA program. They do more than that, more than aggregation, but just to give a better idea, kind of the idea of what it is. She was selling, she sold her products through Farm Fresh, and that deepened the relationship with her, and that gave us the trust, knowing that she had a consistent production, she was going to be a good mentor. And then Planting for the People, which is a nonprofit that is in downtown El Paso, it is an urban farm, is mostly volunteer run. So from there, there are like a few partnerships that had happened with them. Also, selling their products through Farm Fresh, but also like some workshops and then collaborations for talks or panels. So there is like this relationship that it was like not only within the production part of agriculture, but also within the food justice part of agriculture, right? And we thought that was a nice, a good mentor site for those folks that were more interested in urban production. So that's how we had that partnership. And then there was like OG Farms and Utopia that were one in Las Cruces and the other one in here in Anthony as well. And they are also long-term Farm Fresh farmer partners that have been selling their produce and also providing supporting workshops with us. So it's like that. It was mentors that we knew that we could trust them because we had a relationship within the, like we knew they could provide a consistent production, that they had a production going on, that they could provide this technical training to the farmers, but also that also had like this educational background where they could make informed decisions in terms of education for the hands-on training, but also provide support when we do for the knowledge exchange sessions that were the agroecology as practice of and movement.
What is one unexpected result you discovered during your project, and did it cause you to make any changes to your fellowship program?
When we think about like surprise results, I think for me was like that getting better results than what I was expecting. Like, of course, not everything went perfect, but I would read like these other reports and I would be like, okay, we are being very ambitious. Like, hopefully we can make it. And yeah, so that was an unexpected result. There was this unexpected I mean, expected and unexpected, I guess. The farmers, the most of the cohort members were BIPOC farmers or queer farmers. So that was something that gave us a lot of, I mean, because we are a BIPOC run organization. So it was good to see that we were a safe space for our community to farm, for farming. But there was also like these other testimonies of alumni telling us like how we gave them confidence within their farming practice, or how they were able to be themselves, like moms, for example. And like, I'm a single mom, but so it was, that resonated a lot with me. But like, for example, single moms, a single mom in particular telling us that how she felt for the first time that she was able to be a single mom, like doing something that she wanted to do, right? So that's a strong testimony. That's a strong unexpected result.
That is definitely something to be super proud of. That's awesome that you're giving people a safe space to be themselves while also being involved in agriculture. So with La Semilla Food Center providing so many opportunities for beginning farmers, can you tell me about a beginning farmer that was able to start farming or grow their farming operation because of your program?
I would say like about 10 of them are still farming in one way or the other, or within the food systems at least. For example, we have two that were able to have growth within their nonprofits. They have nonprofits that are both community farms. Then we have one that went into seed stewardship. So she's doing all this seed saving. She has all this seed saving program or project. We have two that went into farm management positions. And that's a nice thing. That's also a proud moment. And one of the farmers was able to establish, to have a better establishment of her farming practice in northern New Mexico. Those are the ones that like that grew the most. In one, she's not farming anymore. Like, she started an operation right after the fellowship and then she had to end it, but she's like in pause right now and she's going to continue farming later.
So do you have one piece of advice for someone who's considering participating in one of your programs?
We have programs for almost every level of, at every stage. If you have no knowledge about gardening, there is a Cultiva Institute with community education. If you are an aspiring or beginning farmer, we have the Farmer Fellowship. This year, it will start on September. We will start and we will have more like seasonality to it. But I think my only advice will be to know, like, what do you want to grow? Like, what kind of practice do you want to have and apply? Like, if you see it, and apply. What kind of practice do you want to have and apply to the programs we have? We update our website quite often with the different opportunities that we have there. We have we have volunteer opportunities at the community farm. Then there are like the projects with the school districts and then the community centers. We cover a wide range. So our website has like the best, or subscribe to our listserv, so they are informed of whatever coming up programming or novelty in our programming that is coming up. Also in our social media, there is where we post our programming, but we keep the website up to date, and it's lasemillafoodcenter.org.
On the same level, do you have a piece of advice for someone who is looking to implement a similar program in their state or region?
Be aware of your seasons. That's something important. To be aware of their seasons. For us, the scorching heat is challenging, but for other regions, the freezing cold might be. the challenging part, but also that seasonality is an important aspect of it. And we all have different learning styles, so consider that. And just to keep the work and not give up. There is some frustration sometimes, but it's always worth it.
Now, as we close out the episode, where can people go? I know you mentioned your website and social media. Maybe just say those again. But where can people go to find out more about your program?
People can find us at lasemillafoodcenter.org. And then on Instagram, we are as at lasemillafoodcenter. And I think we are like that on our Facebook as well. Yeah. But also you can find those links in our website.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast and sharing your project with our listeners.
No, thank you. I hope this is useful for other folks as well.
Thank you for listening to the Farm Answers Podcast. This episode was hosted by Megan Engel. To learn more about this USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture's Beginning Farm and Rancher Development Program project or other BFRDP projects, visit farmanswers.org. The Farm Answers Podcast and farmanswers.org are funded by the United States Department of Agriculture National Institute of Food and Agriculture and are a product of the Center for Farm Financial Management at the University of Minnesota.